Let the church say amen. This Pentecost Sunday, let us just rise and give God some praise for it being Pentecost Sunday, day of fire and of faith, of light and of learning, amen, of joy and of peace. What does Pentecost mean? It means 50 days after the resurrection, 50 days after Easter, marking the seven Sabbath Sundays, the Sabbath days in which we are called to be the first fruit of the resurrection. Without the Holy Spirit, we do not understand Christmas. Without the Holy Spirit, we do not understand Easter. How many of you know that the Holy Spirit is the organizer of the church? And let's just give God some praise. For this is the day that the Lord hath made. Let us be glad and rejoice in it. You may be seated in the house of God today. Beloved, I ask for your grace today. We do not have on our jacket. That is not any disrespect to anyone. It's simply that we want to remain, amen, focused in our presentation as we move into the deeper days of May. So please allow us to present the gospel in a manner in which, amen, we feel comfortable. That way we can put our bodies in the place where we can be used by the Holy Spirit. How many of you believe in the power of spring? Amen. So let's give God some praise for that. It's so good to see your faces. To all of you tuning in from home, YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, we give you praise. Let us pray. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for this day, the day of Pentecost, the day of Pentecost. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that Pentecost is a hearkening back to the Old Testament, the celebration of the Feast of Weeks, in which the people of God celebrated the coming down of the Word of God, the Torah. So, Lord, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord, that the Pentecost celebrates both the Word of God and the voice of God. It represents God, Lord, in written form and God in performance form. We thank you for the Holy Spirit that speaks to us, Lord, and leads us and guides us. The Holy Spirit, the Paraclete, the one that brings conviction and comfort, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Holy Spirit, thou art the potter. We are the clay. Make us and mold us after thy will. Here we stand, sit, sing, pray, work, love, and engage you, yielded and still. Bless Tabernacle. Bless this community of love. Bless this caravan of hope. Bless these agents of grace. Lord, thank you for the service. Now, Lord, we submit to you that you may share a word that will be fit for the hearts of your people, that they may burn with joy and that they may love to no end by the power of your giftedness. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the people of God said amen. Amen and amen. Let's give God some mighty praise as we look to the scripture. We do not want to keep you long, but we're in the book of Acts. We're in the book of Acts. Acts for me, beloved, is Luke volume 2. Amen. The great physician of the church, Luke, when he finished the gospel of Luke, continued on with the book of Acts. And so we're looking at Acts chapter 1. If you're there, say amen. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. 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 We don't know if we have it on the screen. Amen. But we're going to be looking at Acts 1. Yes. Hallelujah. Acts 1, 6 through 9. We're calling it the anatomy of power. Thank you. Let's give God some praise for our media ministry today. Amen. Let's give God some praise. Thank you, media. And let's give God some praise for our music ministry. Amen. And for all of those who work so hard to make things happen. Thank you, sound team. Numa, we're not going to go through the whole thing today. Amen. But we're looking at Acts chapter 1, 6 through 9. And we're looking at the New Living Translations. Amen. So let us read verse 6, Acts 1, verse 6. So when the apostles were with Jesus, they kept asking him, Lord, has the time come for you to free Israel and restore our kingdom? He replied, the Father alone has the authority to set those dates and times, and they are not for you to know. Verse 8, but you will receive power. I want to stay right there. But you will receive power. Can somebody say, but I will receive power? Let's do that one more time. But I will receive power. Let's say it in prayer. But I will receive power. Now let's go back. When you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Verse 9, y'all. After saying this, he was taken up into a cloud while they were watching, and they could no longer see him. I want to focus on verse 8, but you will receive power. Amen. Let's give God some mighty praise for the word of God. Hallelujah. Beloved, just for a few minutes, we are taking a detour today as we celebrate this great day in the life of the church, the day of Pentecost. But I want to, if you will, offer this sermon as a preparation for the reception of the Holy Spirit. I don't want us, beloved, to rush to the Holy Spirit without understanding the steps and the process by which we receive the Holy Spirit and allow the Holy Spirit to operate fully in our lives. In order for me to establish this, as we talk about the anatomy of power, I submit to you, my brothers and my sisters, that it's important that you bridge the Holy Spirit to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. In fact, I would argue that the three pillar days in the Christian calendar are Christmas, the Incarnation, Resurrection following Good Friday, Easter, and then the day of Pentecost. But I would argue, beloved, that in many of our circles, we have sort of downplayed or degraded or devalued the power of Pentecost. And we sort of push it to other denominations. And we allow other denominations to have a monopoly on the understanding of the Holy Spirit. And we do not fully operate in the power and in the will of God because we have not fully studied, valued, and appreciated why God left us the Holy Spirit in the first place. Now, the first thing I want to say, beloved, is this. Is that the P of pneuma is that you need to prioritize his presence. You need to what? Prioritize the presence of the Holy Spirit. What are you talking about, brother preacher? What I simply mean is this, that Jesus is talking to the disciples. Jesus has been crucified, he has risen, and he's appeared to the disciples, and he's telling them in the early part of Acts, that remember, I promised you that when I leave, I will not leave you comfortless. I will not leave you without help. I will not leave you without a friend. I will not leave you without strength. The fact of the matter is, a lot of times, beloved, when people put you in a position, they can put you without the equipping and the weaponry and the wherewithal that you need to get a job done. First of all, we need to establish that God, who sees what we need before we know what we need, God prepared us by saying that when I want you to do the work of discipling the nations, when I want you to do the work of raising the dead, of casting out demons, as I want you to do the work of worship and evangelism, of building up the church, building up tabernacle, and sharing and caring, and feeding the hungry, and Bible study, that I'm not going to allow you to do it in your own intelligence. That because I want you to win, I'm going to basically deposit myself in you. Notice that Jesus did not just give them power, and Jesus did not just give them ability. Jesus gave them himself in the Holy Spirit, because the early church called the Holy Spirit the Spirit of Jesus. All the Holy Spirit is Jesus in spirit form. Everything that Jesus did, Jesus gave us the power to do it through him. So when Jesus raised the dead, he wants you to raise the dead. When Jesus healed the sick, he wants you to heal the sick. When Jesus cast out demons, he wants you to cast out demons. When Jesus wants you to feed the hungry, he wants you to do it. And there's a problem with many people hearing what I'm saying now, because we're not operating in the spirit, we're operating in our flesh. So the first thing that says to you is, I can't do it. Well, the reason why you can't do it, because you've not fully accessed the power of the Holy Ghost. In other words, you're trying to operate the charger, you're trying to operate the phone, and you're not charged in to the socket. Is there anybody here that can help me give God some praise that you can't operate as a mother, as a father, as a teacher, as a worker, as a Christian, as a preacher, as a deacon, if you're not charged in to the Holy Spirit? But when the Holy Spirit comes, so Jesus, now in infinite wisdom, says, I am depositing me into you. In other words, I'm graduating you from class. The 3 years I spent with you, Peter, James, and John, I wanted you to see me. But I just didn't want you to see me. I wanted you to be me. That's how secure a leader Jesus was. That Jesus did not lead by pushing people down. He led by empowering, enabling, and enlightening. He was such a secure leader, beloved, that he told his disciples that greater works than I do will ye do. That's the kind of leader we want. That's the kind of servant leader we want. We want people that are not going to push people down, but are going to raise people up and say, run and soar and sing, because I'm here to tell you that if you don't do everything you're supposed to do, it means I've not done everything I'm supposed to do. It's like the preacher told me, he said, Adelikhan, I have to tell you this because I don't want to face God and God ask me whether I told you this or not. Church, I've come by to tell you, I got to tell you some stuff because I don't want to face God and God say, did you tell Tabernacle what I told you to tell him? And I've come by Tabernacle to tell you, you got joy, you got peace, you got love, that you are great as long as you stay in him. You are powerful as long as you're rooted in him. As long as you do PBS, as long as you stay on your knees, as long as you break up your own mind and soar into the mind of Jesus, there's no stopping you now. Give God some praise. For those that wait on the Lord, he shall renew their strength. Look to God and say, God, thank you for making me whole. You got to prioritize his presence. You got to prioritize his presence. Beloved, in this season, with all of the heartaches and all of the heartbreaks, sometimes when you're ministering to those that are sick or those that have lost loved ones, the only thing you can tell them is this: practice the presence of God. Because in the presence of God, you don't have to be fake and phony. In the presence of God, you don't have to worry about eyelashes and eyeliner. You don't have to worry about your haircut or your tie or your suit. In the presence of God, you can cry it out. You can laugh it out. You can wear it out. In the presence of God, all your inhibitions go away and you can let God have it all. Is there anybody here that understands that when God is in the house, that you ain't got to worry about anything else, because you can get more power by being in his presence? In his presence, he gives you a handkerchief of love to dry your tears away. In his presence, he turns your mourning into laughter. In his presence, he can tell you how to hang in there in the midst of your cancer, in the midst of your divorce. Is there anybody here that knows that he walks with me and he talks with me and he tells me I am his own? In order for you to get into his presence, it's amazing to me what Jesus did not give the disciples. He did not give them a bank account. He did not give them a degree. He did not give them property. He did not give them committees. He did not give them a building. He did not give them Facebook or YouTube or TV. Not that those things, there's nothing wrong with those things. But he said, I'm going to give you something that the earth does not know. I'm going to give you my presence. This joy that I have, the world didn't give it. Therefore, the world can't take it away. But you can give it away if you don't stand and sit and pray in his presence. You gotta be in his presence. The other thing that you got to do is you have to nourish the now. Nourish the now. Jesus says,
The Holy Spirit is coming, Sister Jill. But you have to wait for it. Reverend Easton, I found out that the hardest thing for Christians to do, Deacon Logan, is wait. See, notice how they came, Sister Pullen. They came to Jesus saying, will you now restore the kingdom that you promised? I wish they didn't ask this question. Because this question means either they missed Bible study or they forgot what they learned in Bible study, Sister Ruby. Deacon Moore, it means that they forgot why Jesus came. Remember, they were expecting, Brother Harold, a Messiah to bring in the kingdom. But the Messiah, help me, Jesus, that they were expecting was going to be one that came in with swords and shields. One that came in as a military conqueror to overcome their oppressors. Because they wanted somebody to beat up who was beating them up. That's why they missed Jesus when Jesus came as a baby, because he came through back door. And that's why people had a hard time understanding Jesus, because every time they thought Jesus would do one thing, he would do another. When they thought Jesus would show love, he scolded people. Well, when they thought people should scold people, he showed love. Jesus always appeared, because Jesus never appears in the way you want him. Jesus always appears in the way in which you need him. So now, watch this. Well, now, he done taught them for 3 years. He done died. He done resurrected. They done touched his arms. And they're still looking for the kingdom. They missed it. Jesus didn't say, I'm going to bring you the kingdom. Jesus said, help me, Bible scholars, the kingdom of God, Sister Michelle, is inside of you. In other words, you become the new church, the new ministry, the new family, the new husband, the new wife, the new teacher, the new preacher. You got it inside of you. Don't look for somebody to take responsibility where I've told you to take responsibility. Quit waiting on somebody else to deliver you, to emancipate you. Take charge. Be a steward of God's will and let God work it out. The kingdom of God is within you. Nourish your now.
Amen.
One of the main problems we have is that we are secretly always waiting for somebody. That's why we want to take that pill to help us lose weight. That's why we watch those shows to send us a husband or a wife. That's why we come to church, not to become disciples, but to get somebody to sing us and preach us out of our pain so that we don't have to do the work that we need to do during the week to become a better Christian. Church, what Jesus is saying is, church is not a drug. You don't become a disciple. It's not microwave Christianity. Let me help you. Has anybody here been on a weight loss or exercise program? And has anybody here, like me, when you started it, amen, the exercise program, you were gung-ho? Because you were encapsulated, or you were enchanted by the TV commercials, and you saw what they were doing, and because you saw what they were doing, you said, I can do it myself. But when you started it the first day, you were up here. Huh? But 3 days later, you were down here. Can I tell you what the problem was? See, when they showed you the commercial, they showed you the end product. And because you watched the commercial in 30 seconds, you thought in your own mind subconsciously that you could lose weight in 30 seconds. But how many of you know that when you start that weight program, amen, that you're going to have to fight, amen, when it through the first day, the second day, that they make it look easy. Y'all heard a story. Y'all heard a story about the man who came to the pastor. Said, Pastor, said I wanna lose weight. And Pastor said, you sure you want to lose weight? He said, come back tomorrow. He came back tomorrow. The next day he said, Pastor, I want to lose weight. He said, you sure you want to lose weight? Pastor said, come back tomorrow. He came back. Pastor, I want to lose weight. He said, listen. He said, if you want to lose weight, he said, I got some instructions for you. He said, why don't you go home and expect your trainer to come at 6 a.m. in the morning. So the man went home, got up at 5:15, got himself ready, amen, opened the door at the doorbell and saw a wonderful, beautiful 28, I don't know the dimensions, beautiful sister at the door. You know what the sister said? She said, you can have me if you can catch me. The sister took off running. The man ran after her. He weighed 400 pounds. She was perfect weight. The next day, she rang the doorbell. She said, you can have me if you can catch me. She took off running. The man ran after her. It happened day after day, week after week. And every day, she would ring the doorbell. And the man take off running. The man would chase her down. Guess what happened? He went to the pastor and said, Pastor, look at how I look. Pastor said, keep on going. Right? Next day, after 1 month of training, man is down to size. He comes to the doorbell, stretching. He done waited. He done got everything ready. Gets to the doorbell. Somebody else, 500 pounds. Said, Pastor said, I can have you if I can catch you. The man took off running. He went back to the pastor. The pastor said, you did lose weight, didn't you? Give God some mighty praise. Sometimes it may not come the way you want it, but it's always
right on time.
What I'm trying to say is it's not easy. And I believe that one of the ways, Brother Templeton, the Lord makes us challenged through adversity, makes us, well, how did David put it? It was good that I was afflicted that I may learn his precepts so that he can weed out the phony ones. He can weed out the imposters. It takes staying power to learn how to pray. It takes discipline to learn fasting. It takes, you got to shut down TV and shut down Facebook and shut down some friends. You got to let some things go if you're going to be sanctified and holy. Is there anybody under the sound of my voice? 5 months ago, 5 years ago, 15 years ago, you didn't have the discipline. But thanks be to God, you had to tell some things no so God could tell you yes. And look at you now. Give some God some mighty praise. Nothing shall separate us from the love of God.
Amen.
Nourish your now. But this is where I wanted to get to. Say you have to wait. It says, you shall receive power. I want you to put down it's imputed power. It's not given through politics. There's nothing wrong with politics. It's not given through economics. But this is the power that will show you how to use politics and economics and education. This is the wisdom that comes from God. And part of the challenge that we have is that when we look at the word power, we always think it's ability. But the power, according to the Holy Spirit, is not just ability, it's anointing. It's intelligence, it's wisdom. It's the grace to do things that you ordinarily could not do. Some of you work on tough jobs, and people are failing while you're succeeding. That's the grace of the Holy Spirit. Some of you have tough family situations to deal with, and you're able to have joy when other people will be sad. I want you to write this down, and the Lord asked me to tell you this. To engage the Spirit, you need to learn the mystery now, the secret now, the hidden wisdom of God, of sowing in tears. See, what makes us children of Pentecost is that we don't have to wait until good times for us to sow. That you sow, Sister Evelyn, in order for good times to come. See, when you have the Holy Spirit changes how you see night and day, a.m. and p.m. The Holy Spirit, help me, Jesus. The Holy Spirit can wake you up at 2 o'clock in the morning and put 1 hour prayer in your mind. The Holy Spirit can tell you, wake up, call so-and-so, because they're going through. Wake up and send out 12 text messages in terms of prayer. The Holy Spirit will enter into your bank account and tell you, I want you to sow an additional offering into the church. I want you to hear me, saints. One of the ways in which the enemy robs our lives is because he will teach you how to deny what's coming out of my mouth. And you always have something to sow. And it's not about the preacher. It's about the kingdom. Watch what I'm saying. And it's not about money. Sometimes you need to sow time into God. Don't ever put yourself into a situation where you allow your today to confiscate your tomorrow. So many of us are looking for what we have today, and we don't give God our time, our talent, our tongues, our tithes, and our treasure, and we rob ourselves of what God has for us tomorrow. If you cannot trust God with what you have, how can God trust you with the true riches of the kingdom? God is saying, I want you to hold back on this now and give it to me, because I see you down the line, and even though you're a slave right now, Joseph, I'm going to make you what? A prime minister in Egypt. I want a church that learns how to sow in tears. Because it says those that sow in tears will reap in joy. You can't wait. Help me, Jesus. You can't wait until the healing has fully come for you to start sowing. You can't wait until you get the job that you want before you stop sowing. You can't wait until the relationship is all the way better before you stop sowing. Start sowing. I know people who have been on their way to divorce court and started sowing and it changed their minds. I know people who've been on the deathbed and started sowing joy and hope and peace and it changed their situation. Is there anybody here that while you were down, the Lord told you to sow, and because you sowed while you were down, the Lord lifted you up? Is there anybody here who has a testimony that you don't have to wait until the morning? It says, weeping may endure for the night, but while weeping comes, keep sowing because joy comes in the morning. Let me tell you, the joy doesn't come in the morning. The morning comes when joy comes. So don't allow the devil to steal your joy, for the joy of the Lord is our strength. Yes, sir. Amen. You need to engage the Spirit. Let me put it to you this way. Do y'all remember those virgins in Matthew 25? Yeah. Notice that all of them had lanterns, but some of them didn't have enough oil. This has nothing to do with women or men. It has everything to do with whether or not you have had the resourcefulness to cultivate a relationship with the Holy Spirit while things, amen, while you're waiting for something to happen. So if there is a delay in what you're expecting, you got some reserve to draw on. Because delays will come, but do you have the stamina to sing when everybody else is crying? Do you have the stamina to love when everybody else is hating? Do you have the stamina to hang in there? Until you tell the devil, devil, I'm not dying over this. You're going to die before I die. That's why in Revelation it said, and they overcame their enemy by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death. You're going to have a word that you can speak in darkness so that the devil will run away. That's why he says, put on the whole armor of God so that you will not be afraid of the wiles of the devil. Is there anybody here that is not ready to back down to the devil because you know your future is better than your today? Give God some mighty praise. Learn to sow. Sow righteousness. Finally, beloved, Finally, you want to understand the power of expectation. When the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion, Psalm 20:26, we were like those who dreamed. Our mouths were filled with laughter. Our tongues with songs of joy. Then it was said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us, and we are filled with joy. Restore our fortunes, Lord. How many of you know God is a restorer? For those who sow with tears will reap with songs of joy. The way that I know that you have joy is that you have a song in your heart for all seasons. I will extol the Lord at all times. His praise will continually be in my mouth. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. The Lord that keepeth Israel does not slumber nor sleep. The Lord that keepeth Israel will not let your foot to be moved. Is there anybody here that can help me sing the songs of giants? Anybody here knows the power is great is thy faithfulness. Amazing grace. Victory is mine, saith the Lord. Give God some mighty praise. Don't ever let a song depart from your house. Because he said that effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. But then he said, encourage one another with hymns and songs and spiritual songs. Is there anybody here that got a song on their heart? Stand to your feet and let's give God some mighty praise right now. In God, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. Give God some mighty praise. Here it is. Here it is now, beloved. When you're with God and you're looking for expectation, because the only reason why you're here today is because you're expecting for God to move in your life. It may be to move on your body. It may be to move in your health. It may be to move in your loved one, your mother, your father, your daughter, your husband, your co-worker, your fellow Christian. But you're standing here on expectation. Is there anybody here that is waiting for God to come and do something in your life? Give God some mighty praise. But here it is now. Here it is. You have to ask, what is God requiring of you? God was about to give them all of him in the spirit. These were not celebrated or decorated four-star generals. They were not professors from USC or University of Dayton or Central State. These were men who had the stench of fish smelling, oozing from their pores. But he was about to turn their captivity. That God takes the foolish things of the world, the foolish things, the rejects, the degraded ones, the devalued ones, the shut out ones. God, my God, takes the foolish things to confound the wise. My God takes the weak things, the minuscule things, the rubbish of the world. I said the rubbish of the world. The ones that said I don't have and I can't have. But God looks beyond my faults and your faults. And he imbues us with his spirit. The spirit allows the barren womb to become open. The spirit allows the exile to return home to citizenship. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. The Spirit takes the Galilean Sea and turns it into a moving sidewalk. The Spirit takes the lion's growl and turns it into gospel music. Yes, the Spirit opened up a tomb and turned it into a staircase of love.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did.
Beloved, we can no longer afford to live our lives outside of the Spirit.
Yes, sir. Amen.
But the power of being in God, and God told me to tell you this, the price for all of God is all of you. What have you not given over to God? Your time, your treasure, your anger issues, your sexual addiction. What have your materialism, your shopaholism, what have you not given over to God? I told you, if you're in His presence, you don't have to confess it to anybody else, but don't leave God's presence and don't confess it to Him. You don't have to tell your husband, your girlfriend, your Ace Boone Coon, but you got to learn how to open your heart to God. That man brought his son to Jesus. And when Jesus zoned in on him, he finally had to confess. Lord, I believe, but help mine unbelief. Lord, I've learned to say yes to you on some things, but Lord, I'm still saying no to you on some other things. Let's be honest. We've not turned everything over to God. There's some people we still got some grudges with. Huh? There's still some hatred, some bitterness. There's still some stuff we've not turned over. We ain't turned over our back pain. We ain't turned over them corns on our toes. Y'all ain't gonna pray with me. We ain't turned over some of those late night habits we have. I've come by to say, He wants something better for you. And whatever you do, kill everything. I said kill everything. Because whatever you don't kill will wind up killing you and may kill your loved ones. So I've learned to come to Jesus. Weary, weak, and worn. I've learned to turn it over to Jesus. That woman spent all the money she had, crawled to Jesus and touched His heart garment. Had more medicine in His garment all the gynecologist stuff. He turned around and said, "Who touched me?" Beloved, you know what Pentecost means? He wants us to worship Him so God can say, "Who touched me? Who is that sister at Tabernacle? Who is that deacon? Who is that?" Lord, I want Tabernacle to go to God, to crawl to God, to worship God. So He has to say, "Who touched me?" And then she has to come out and say, "Lord, it is I." In other words, what you were ashamed of in the crowd, you're going to have to show people your scars, so that people can know what the Lord healed you from. If you believe that, give God some mighty praise right now. Hallelujah. And so as I pray and as the choir sings, I just want you to spend a moment in meditation. We love you, but Christ loves you more. And the only reason why God sends pastors is found in Jeremiah 3:15. And I will give you pastors. My job is to feed you according to knowledge and understanding. And how do you know that somebody has been fed? Because they're growing. Is there anybody here growing in grace and growing in Jesus? Give God some mighty praise. If it's not good enough for me, it's not good enough for Tabernacle. But because the Holy Spirit is God's best, I got to give Tabernacle and our local and national, international communities our best. Father, in the name of Jesus. Father, in the name of Jesus. Forgive us for not knowing the power of surrender to you. Show us the meaning of I surrender all to Jesus. I freely give. Lord, in the name of Jesus, there's somebody here struggling with something about the Spirit, Lord, right now. Lord, in your own way, whatever time you feel, move on our hearts. Open doors that no man can close, and close doors that no man can open. Declare unto us your righteousness. Show us
then nothing shall separate us from the love of God. For Lord, we know that the just shall live by faith. So Lord, I'm asking, Lord, for this Pentecost, for a special gift of sowing, that only you can show your people what it means to sow in tears that they may reap in joy. But Lord, in the name of Jesus, let them do like that old lady. I've been buked and I've been scorned and I've been talked about show as you're born. But I'm running for Jesus and I ain't got tired yet. So Lord, if you need us, preach, we'll preach. If you need us, teach, we'll teach. If you need us, study, we'll study. If you need us, give, we'll give. If you need us, thanks, give, we'll thanks. If you need us, forgive, we'll forgive. If you need us to go, we will go. All to your goodness and glory divine. In the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Spirit, the great protector and provider of tabernacle, we give you praise. And the people of God said, amen, amen, and amen. Give God some mighty, mighty, mighty praise as our choir comes and leads us further.